Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Witches Tarot by Cardzi B., as well as various tarot products and events. I hope you all had a really powerful new moon in Pisces. We had a huge spike in the Schumann resonance, also known as kind of like the Earth's frequency in Hertz, on September 2nd. So that energy combined with the new moon was really an impactful shift for many of us. I know I was seeing this in clients, in friends that I was having conversations with this past week. So if you were feeling tired, more emotional than usual, or on the flip side of that, more anxious and kind of like overly charged, overly energized, you definitely were not alone, as the cosmos and the light frequencies of Earth were really stirring up this big release. Hopefully this really allowed for kind of a clearing and a reset so that we can move into this coming week and this holiday weekend for those of you in the US with a little more ease and a little more clarity. I always say usually at this time, everyone is doing the whole, I can't believe it's Labor Day. I can't believe the summer is over. In ways it's like, oh yeah, we had a great summer. And that means that there's nostalgia and kind of clinging to that. But I think we're all kind of, some of us may be like rushing to the future a bit more of like, let's just freaking get through 2020. But I do think I'm feeling across people that I'm seeing, having conversations with clients, that we all kind of are much more in a state of presence, and we're not that like, oh no, the summer's over. We're kind of like, okay, we're in September and this is happening. And I do see kind of that shift in consciousness of either clinging to the past or rushing too much into the future, of people being like, we don't know literally now more than ever what the future will bring. So how can we just be really present? So there is kind of a groundedness to that that I've been seeing, especially following this really powerful energetic shift with the Schumann spike and the full moon in Pisces this week. So I don't waste too much time in our intro this week because I do have James Jacob Peary from Asset Gypsy. He's coming back on. I've been talking about this. I'm so excited to have him back. He's such a rock star, such an incredible healer and reader. And he's here to talk about life upgrades and transitions in 2020, as we've all been in these massive individual tower moments, as well as kind of this global tower moment of the pandemic and of the lockdowns. So how we are all navigating that, and how we, those of us who have had to make big shifts and transitions with which both James and I have, kind of how that's playing out. So I'm so excited to dive into that with him. Before we bring him out, let's quickly review our cards of the month. So September brings us that Virgo ruled hermit card, providing an invitation to really go within and kind of clear out any external noises, any external opinions and pressures, in order to access our inner guidance system more clearly, and how we're going to use that inner GPS to move forward. If there had been some sort of stagnation or lack of clarity in Cancer and Leo season, I feel like, again, Leo was kind of that fire, that spark of, now I see kind of where I'm headed. We're using Virgo and the Hermit to really hone that GPS of where are we headed, how are we moving forward, and kind of that work energy, that earth energy of Virgo. And as I mentioned in the last episode, this card is also associated with the throat chakra. So it's a great time to ask, where can we trust our own throat chakra over that of others? And that goes into the Hermit kind of filtering other voices out as we really get in tune with our own. And where might we need to express our own truth through our throat chakra more clearly? Our second card for September that we pulled in the January 2020 overview for the year is the Magician reverse. Now, as I noted in the monthly overview, I honestly prefer this card upright, but there are some important lessons in the reversal. The reversal of the Magician usually comes when we may know what we need to do. We kind of have that inner knowing and feeling, but might be procrastinating. And Virgos are notorious procrastinators, because it often comes in the guise of perfectionism. And because the Magician is also ruled by Mercury, it's associated with communication, much like the hermit. So it's a good time to get clear and, you know, with ourselves and ask, where are we putting work or effort into that might not be the most important place right now? It might even be a distraction or a procrastination from something that we really should be feeding and really should be giving our energy to in order to create and manifest and magnetize in our highest interest in September. So it's kind of like calling that out, like really, really assessing. And once you see it in the Magician reverse, like, how can you turn that around? As my nephew, who when he was little, he used to love G.I. Joe, and he still quotes that G.I. Joe saying of knowing is half the battle. So I really feel like that in the Magician reverse energy. All right, so let's take a look at our card of the week. I'm going to switch it up today, and I'm going to pull from the Smith Rider-Waite Centennial deck. I almost always pull from Badass Witches Tarot because I created it, and it's what I read with like 90% of the time. But I have this on my desk from just reorganizing and doing some other things. So let's switch it up. Let's be crazy today. Knight of Pentacles for the week, kids. All right, I actually feel good about this one because this is really aligned with Virgo season. It's the hardest working knight in a lot of ways. We associate, you know, that earth energy of Pentacles with groundedness and hardworking. We think Capricorn, Virgo, Taurus. And since knights are associated with air and, you know, as I said, Pentacles with earth, I tend to interpret this card as movement, air, through security. Like towards security, rather, you know, we're moving through things to get to that abundance, that success, that groundedness of earth energy. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows this guy and he's on a horse in a field holding this pentacle. And he's kind of looking at it, and I feel like he seems pretty confident and that he doesn't have to rush. He's kind of assessing the path ahead of him to make the best choices. And kind of like, okay, I'm going to plot this out in my own way. And I know it's going to work. Let's take a minute and just do it my way. And I drew this card in the Badass Bitches Tarot as Mindy Kaling, because I also see this as kind of the successful entrepreneur card. And even, you know, when we get Knight of Pentacles, even when things might appear challenging, or in Mindy Kaling's early career, when the odds may be stacked against you, the Knight of Pentacles really reminds us to plan our paths ahead authentically and to confidently do it our own way. Even if that's not the way that's been most accepted up until this point or the most celebrated, it's like, no, I know this is what's in my truth. And I feel like this works really nicely with that Magician reversed of like, if we're having that, like, you know it, you're trying to pull through it. Knight of Pentacles is a good card to really help get you through to the other side. I also feel like this is the perfect card to bring James back on the pod, because that is exactly how he rolls with his practice, his shop, and, you know, just what he brings out in all of his teachings. So I am so happy to have you back, James. Like, you're like the rock star of this podcast, I have to say, guest-wise. Everyone who is listening, I'm sure, is so excited that James is back. I got all these amazing DMs, emails about that episode, just how inspiring you were, and also just really fun and engaging. So wanted to bring you back on regardless, and I thought that it was such an interesting time because I know you're opening up your store. It will already be open, I believe, by the time that this podcast airs this coming Sunday. But you're opening up the store this weekend, and you've had this major, you were in your old location for a really long time, and kind of doing this big transition and this up-leveling in such a time of kind of upheaval, a big tower card for the whole world. How did you handle that?
Where do we even begin with all this? Well, first, thank you so much for that marvelous introduction. And it was such a pleasure to be on your show. I love when we do anything together, so it's always a lot of fun. And thank you, everybody out there, for the warm reception as well, too. I'm tingly all over that you invited me into your homes and cars or wherever it was that you watched our show and enjoyed it enough to have me back. Well, you know, I don't know where to begin because there's so much transition in both of our lives. I have a million questions for you as well, too. This might turn into the Cardi B interview, everybody.
I know. I think it's so funny that simultaneously we had these really massive shifts that were kind of, I don't know about you, but for me, very unexpected. But then it feels so aligned when I just surrendered to it. So I know that a lot of people are kind of at these crossroads and at these, do I make this massive change, this shift in my life? And I wanted to see how you were dealing with that and kind of what inspired it and how that all kind of came to fruition over the past couple months.
Oh, well, you know, it's going to intertwine with your story. So I hope that's a whole arena we can tour through, because I've got so many questions for you as well, too, that will answer the missing pieces of my mosaic. But, you know, I left the New York City area like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. I lived in Newport, Jersey City, right on the Hudson River. Mm-hmm. I could probably see your apartment building from where I lived. And, you know, that was my backdrop every day. And when I finally committed and gave up my relationship with New York City, or as my best friend Brandy always puts it, my bitch, excuse my language, I decided to hightail it out into the country. And yes, I did listen to REM's I'm Leaving New York as I saw it disappearing in the rearview mirror. And out here, it's been a little bit more bearable to deal with. And that's why I have so many questions for you, because I'm really familiar with New York City, really, really familiar with it. And your story was fascinating to me. Out here, it was a little bit easier. So yeah, I had Osset Gypsy Metaphysical Emporium in Easton for about 2.5 years. And I'd become unhappy with the progress of the city, unfortunately. I tried to get a lot of things accomplished there, and I was just met with resistance at every corner. My business thrived, but it was kind of like I was there, but I wasn't part of anything. Mm-hmm. So I was very unhappy with that. You know, I wasn't the you know, misunderstood gothic kid at the end of the corner who didn't want any attention. I wanted attention. I wanted to jump in on things, and I'd already made up my mind by the holidays that I was probably going to move from there. And my lease was up at the end of March. So I was planning on telling my landlord, who was a cool guy from Brooklyn, that I was going to move out. And I knew he was going to be disappointed and heartbroken, because he really loved what I had going on there. And I did. I was like, you know what? I'm going to move. This town ain't for me. I made my magic here. Gathered up my coins, and by coins, I mean my clients and my customer base. And it was time to, you know, go someplace else. And I knew they would follow, you know, kind of like a video game. As you can tell, I don't play video games, because that's probably the worst analogy ever. But so March 11th hit, and all of a sudden we had to close our doors everywhere. Now, I saw this coming ahead of time, because my mother and my niece and my sister still live in Hoboken, you know, they live right on the edge of New York City. And my mom was keeping me up. She's like, oh, look, they're going to start closing stuff down. You know, you better get prepared. So I was a little prepared, and I was trying to share all that savvy with my neighbors, with other people who had businesses out there. And they thought I was crazy and paranoid. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to be a typical Aquarius and be one beat ahead of everything else and let them say what they want. And so yeah, March 11th hit, and we were supposed to only be closed for a couple of weeks until the end of March, because I had the sign on the door. I drew the drapes, closed everything up, and went home. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was okay, because I haven't always had a location, and I always worked from home a lot anyway. And so I was still seeing clients, you know, via teleconference. So that didn't really slow down any. I stayed consistent. But where my experience is going to be completely different from yours is I was out in the country. Right. So the only thing I had to do was kind of like wake up in the morning, you know, maybe catch an episode of Murder, She Wrote and Hot Bench, make coffee, go for a walk in the huge park across the street. And
text, you're watching Murder, She Wrote, and that's how you like ease into the day. That's one of my favorite little unknown rituals of James of Osset Gypsy over there. It's my fave.
My friends all make fun of me. They're like, James, you watch old lady TV? I'm like, yes, I do. That's right. I do. It's so true. So I don't watch a lot of TV, and the TV that I watch, everybody tends to make fun of me for. But yeah, I do. I love Murder, She Wrote. don't know why. I just really do. I get a kick out of it. I get all my social media done while I'm watching it, like on the commercial breaks, and I can sip my coffee and wake up, and it's, you know, it's nothing metaphysical. Although yesterday it was metaphysical. They had a psychic on and a real new age woman, and I got a kick out of that. But yeah, that is, but that's where it was different for maybe me and you. You know, as you said, the tower hit and the whole world started to fall apart. Now, you know, I don't know how to say the whole world fell apart because I talk to friends in different countries all over the place. So I got different points of view other than watching the news. I got their points of view of what was happening where they lived and what was going on. And it ran the gamut of like England, Italy, Eastern Europe. And, you know, everyone was uncomfortable and unhappy, but they did what they had to and got on with life. You know, they're enjoying watching the television reality show known as America right now because, you know, the news is portraying our country in a really crazy light. And so from March until now, well, eventually we were able to go back into our shops and reopen in the beginning of June because Offset Gypsy Emporium was in Pennsylvania. We opened up a little bit sooner than New Jersey and New York. So I'd already told my landlord, look, I'm moving out. I don't know where I'm going next. I just put everything in storage for a little while. But my last meditation in that place was to meditate on just telling the fates, this is up to you. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going to make this effortless. I'm tired. I don't feel like going and looking for a place. And if it comes, it comes. If not, I can work from home like everybody else is. And I'm okay with that for right now. And then lo and behold, this cute little place called Frenchtown, New Jersey that I love, it invited me here. The people, the store owners actually invited me here and kept saying, we don't know why you're not here and why you're in Easton. So I followed their advice. I didn't look for a spot. The spot found me. Business owners down the street said, the perfect place is available for you. Go see it. Go talk to the landlord. Here's the phone number. Met the landlord. The landlord was totally cool. She's a mathematician teacher at a Buddhist high school. I was like, how cool is that? And we got along real quick. And the town has been nothing but receptive since. And it's an interesting mix of people. It's a very artistic town. So I fell in love with that. But everything in the meantime, I had to watch via television. You know, I haven't been in New York City. I think the last night I was in there, it was either late February or early March because my 10-year-old niece, Athena, she performs. She's an actress, and she had done a show up on the Upper East Side. I think that was the last time I was in there. And so it's been a while. So I've had to watch on TV and hear from people that I know, including yourself. But guess what? Like you, all the other people I knew, I tailed it out of there. They're gone. And it's been interesting to watch your spiritual, personal, emotional, and observant points of view of how that was really difficult for you to do as well, too. So the experiences, this is probably going to be where we're going to have to compare notes. Because, yeah, I laid low. I took off July, and I just said, you know what, I'm just going to actually take the month off. And I did. And I did nothing. I really did nothing. For the first time in my life, I really just did nothing. And, you know, we were so hard at work this time last year for the Offset Gypsy Tarot deck. Mm-hmm. And then this year was just like nothing. I don't know. There was just nothing to do. So I planned ahead and I started making all of my candles because eventually I knew I was going to reopen. And, you know, then this place popped up and I grabbed it. And I feel like I've just been in and out of hot storage units all summer because I put all my stuff in storage units and pulling it back out to get this place up and gussied. And boom, now here it is. You know, this place will be opening its doors for soft opening on Friday. And I'm already booked up all weekend and it's been exciting to see. So it's nice to see people again because life is kind of flourishing and coming back And I'm ready for that. I don't like that term, the new normal, that newscasters keep saying. I don't like it. I don't know. That makes the whole moment we're in right now very hashtagged and very, I don't know. It's a germ. These things happen. It's happened before.
Yeah.
Other diseases are floating around that nobody seems to care about anymore.
100%, yeah.
You know, no, this.
I also think that it's kind of even like so much of the terminology feels like conditioning. And it's like there is like, and to define any sort of normal for anyone, it's like we're always evolving. We're all in transition. Like I keep saying, this is like the bridge to what the new world is going to look like. I personally don't want to live on the bridge. I don't want to be stuck in the Holland Tunnel. So I'm not going to call this my normal. Like, that's in transition.
No, I agree with you on that. You're absolutely right. There's always these moments that punch society and civilization really hard, and the things reverberate from there. You know, I think it's hard for people, you know, who remember what life was like before 9/11. I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. It was easier, you know, and, you know, most people are going to remember what life was like before this. And now there's going to be these new obstacles. Like, my motto for the 21st century is, the 21st century is conveniently inconvenient. Mm-hmm. Like, we have more convenience at our fingertips than we ever had in existence. Yet there are all these inconveniences to make the convenience work that it just becomes psychologically frustrating. Oh, you know, like until these tablets came out and smartphones and whatnot, I was not a computer person. I'm not computer savvy at all. I'm awful with it. It wasn't my thing. And, you know, we've kind of all been have to pushed and urged into this computer tunnel, and we have to know how to use them, and we have to absolutely use them. And some people are better at this than others. And I've been making it up as I go along the whole time, you know?
Yeah, totally. What I love about like what you shared, and I felt like this in the decisions I had to make over the past couple of months as well, is that you really just kind of surrendered. It was a very like hanged man energy of surrendering to the universe. If you're like, the right thing's gonna come up, and you're like, I'm okay to put stuff in storage until that occurs. Because that's what I didn't know, and literally until now, what the unfolding was of how you found the new location. Because it's literally, I mean, I can't wait to come. I'm now close and I can actually drive. Isn't that funny?
I'm
probably gonna be there. But I was wondering, I'm like, it's so picturesque and it just suits you. Like even the photos on Instagram and on your, you know, new site, I'm like, oh wow, like it just seems very in alignment. And I didn't know if that was something that you had in your back pocket, something you were eyeing all along. And the fact that you're like, no, this just happened and you surrendered into it, I think is, it's just such a like good piece of advice to anybody in this moment that is like, where the fuck am I going next? Whether that's location-wise, relationship-wise, job-wise, you know, career with your shop, your business. You're kind of like, I'm going to trust that the right thing's going to come along. And it seemed so effortless, which is amazing.
It's experience. It really just is experience. I've just gotten to the point in life now where I'm like, you know, all right, what can come next? All right. You know, it's not, and I like that you use the word surrender to anxiety. It's not so much submission, but it is surrender to anxiety. You know, I believe that fear has become the new American favorite pastime.
Oh my God, yeah.
And it's given so much identity to those who might be considered identity-less had they not had fear. And it's created a whole new, you know, genre. Again, as an Aquarius, I know I loathe like genres and what do people call each other? Like, you know, like the whole, this is gonna break a lot of hearts, but I've never watched it all the way through, but the bits and pieces I watch, I don't like the Breakfast Club movie. I really, really don't like that movie. And it just seems that ever since that movie, people have just pigeonholed themselves into playing one of those characters. And I'm like, you know, that's a story that's created composites of stereotypes. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Of stereotypes, but you can't live that in real life. Or this is going to break more hearts too. I don't like the show Friends. I remember watching the first episode when it aired, stuck online at a liquor store in Hoboken. And I'm watching it because I'm stuck on this long line. I'm like, this is a terrible show. This is not going to last. This is not how people live in New York City. But people fell in love with the fantasy, and then people moved from all over to New York City to try to live Friends or Sex in the City. And, you know, that, those were hard standards to live up to because New York City is not TV. So, again, using those examples, it comes down to the stereotypes. And the new stereotype we've developed is the Karen for men and women, you know. And the stereotype of those living in fear. I blame Oprah for that. Because I, you know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, watching Oprah Winfrey, oh, not every day at 4 o'clock, but, you know, seeing the commercials and catching a few episodes, it was always like honoring the victim. And what's scary with that is that there's always people craving attention, and they're going to want it in the weakest form, the easiest way possible. And then the real victims out there who desperately need the attention, who are screaming for help, get overlooked because now someone found, I can do this for attention. Mm-hmm. And they exploit it, and they manipulate it, and it still goes... You know, the people who need the help are now lost in the shuffle or the tidal wave of the people just looking for attention. Yeah. So that's one of the things developing around that I see. Like, I don't know, you know, sooner or later, we're not going to have to wear these silly little masks.
Right.
And what's going to happen to those people that this mask gave them identity? Because they are now the Navy police. You're not wearing yours. You're unclean. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Century?
That was part of like the that I felt. I mean, I came in the later wave to New York after you. Like, I probably was that like Sex and the City generation. Like, I watched that in high school and I was like, that's the life I want. And I pretty much lived that life. And I have to say, I loved it, shamelessly loved it.
Hey, good for you. I hope you didn't take offense.
No, I think that's accurate. But like, I was always there when I felt that it was a very safe city. It was very, there was like, diversity was celebrated, and that everyone kind of, and New Yorkers by, like, I consider myself a lovable narcissist. New Yorkers by nature are narcissistic, and you're doing your own thing. You're not really judging other people because you're like, I got shit to do, right?
Yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah, so there was just this acceptance. Didn't matter, like, you know, your race, your religion, your gender or sexual orientation. And then this hit, and oh my God, the polarity in New York of the shaming of whether you're not wearing a mask or whether it's like, you know, if you are doing this and you're not social distancing this way, or you saw these people and you went downtown and you live uptown and now you're exposing new people to this, just the policing and the shaming and the hatred. I was like, I've never seen that. And I might be quite sheltered in the time period that I lived in New York over the past 15 years, but I was like, the xenophobia and the hatred. And I think that's also like, and now the crime is really intense. I was gently mugged right before I left, but it was quite, you know, minor by all things considered. I've been more accosted by housewives, to be honest, but
yeah.
in my lifetime. But still, it's like, I was like, whoa, where is this all coming from? And I think you're right. It's this, a lot of this purging and coming to the surface and people clamoring for whether it's control, whether it's like their fear manifesting in that way. But I just saw such hatred and negativity in the city that broke my heart. Yeah.
Well, this is what I used to tell all of my friends who moved into that area. Like I said, I grew up there. New York City was my backyard. I remember a New York City that's much different than the Disney World gentrification Shangri-La that a lot of people who moved into it over the last 15 years played in. And, you know, I kept telling everyone, well, you're all play. And I don't mean this in a bad way. You know, I'm just saying my experience was a little askew. I'm like, you got to scratch a little bit beneath that gold leafing. I'm like, it's underneath. There's a New York City that's kind of seething. It was a different world. And so hearing you say all of a sudden, you know, xenophobia and all of this stuff, this is because underneath all of that veneer, there were people who were suffering much longer than the new people who moved in. and were playing in there. And it was very hard for these people to watch because nobody cared about them. And unfortunately, not all these people were humble people. Some of these people were criminals. Some of these people had violent tendencies.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it, you know, in, you know, when I was a kid and a teenager growing up there. And so now that it's revealed itself, people are shocked and they can't believe that this is the case. And I'm like, wow, but that's real New York, everyone. Like, those have been the problems that have been suppressed. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, real estate agents can go in and sell off a falling apart studio apartment for $8,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this can't go on forever. Sooner or later, this is going to be like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And it's going to blow. And it has.
So I absolutely agree with you. And like, do you think, because I know that you're also very astrologically well-versed, when looking at this series, and I think we may have talked about this over the summer, I don't remember, but that series of eclipses that started for us in June, that's closing out with the winter solstice, when you look back and when they hit on those exact moons and those exact dates, it was 19 years ago on 9/11, and then in 82, which was very much the state of the city, as you're saying now, you know, kind of that's coming up again. And in that, in those cycles, it's almost like they come up and these things that weren't purged and weren't cleared or integrated surface for us to look at and say, like, everything you're saying, these problems are still here. You know, we covered them, we built on top of them, but they're still, I always think of, like, because I'm such a horror movie freak, I always think of Poltergeist when they're like, you moved the graves and not the body.
Yes, yes. That's a funny analogy, but
right?
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah,
I
absolutely
feel that this is coming up to really be looked at, and like, this is still here, like you're saying, and what do we do with that? How do we heal it? And I mean, I hope, as much as I do love New York, if it's aligned, I hope that I go back, but I'm open to very much like we were talking about with surrendering into the best, you know, what's in our highest and best interest. I'm open to where it is best for me and most aligned for me to live moving forward.
And with the planets, the way you're talking, I've been paying attention to them as well, too. Well, we'll put the eclipses on. A friend of mine, another Aquarius, she loves the eclipses. That's her thing. So I always get my eclipse information from her. But the focus I wanted to put on were the things that you mentioned, the cycles of 1982, September 11th, and now we're here again. I'm not too shocked. But what gets my attention now has been the planets clustered up in Capricorn. Saturn is retrograde in Capricorn, Jupiter's in Capricorn, and Pluto's in Capricorn. Now, Pluto's been stuck in Capricorn for, I don't know, 500 years now, or so it seems. And I feel bad for Capricorns and Scorpios who have been stuck in this, like, state of animation of always seeing all their flaws and thinking everyone else can see them, and they can't. And, you know, that's got to be highly disturbing. But when you break down symbolically, you know, if Saturn is old money, which means, you know, millionaires who have been millionaires since the fall of the Roman Empire, and if Jupiter is nouveau money, which are the new politicians, the new CEOs, the new movers and shakers who are dependent upon the old money, Saturn, and if Pluto is mining, oil, and everything that's found in the earth, and they're collected in Capricorn, the most capitalist sign of the whole entire zodiac, you know, the most rigid, and then all of this is eventually going to move into Aquarius. You hit the nail on the head, my friend, when you said we're seeing the threshold of the new world we're all going to be stepping into sooner or later. Because when all those signs start moving into Aquarius, you know, that's the song says it all, the age of Aquarius. And those signs, those planets, I mean, are going to be in Aquarius for a very long time, like they've been in Capricorn for what feels like forever. And think about it. Saturn is old money. It's going into, when Saturn just moved into Aquarius for just a little while, revolution went crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Uranus in Taurus ripping up the fabric of, you know, Taurus rules tradition and home life and career, it's ripped up the fabric of all of that. It kind of said, you know, you got this technology that most of y'all could be working from home. Yeah. What you got to be in the building for? Change the whole setup of traditional career. It's ripped up the family, you know, tradition and values. And now we're seeing it pour out into the streets. Now, again, like we said in New York, obviously things were bubbling under the surface in a lot of these other places that people were ignoring. And you can't ignore something. Sooner or later, it's going to come up like a monster. That's it. So, you know, the other thing you're saying is the winter solstice. Yeah.
That's what I'm in touch with with you because, okay, I have this theory and I want to get, I was like, oh, I need to ask James your thoughts on this because of everything you've stated with all of the strong Capricorn placements and the fact that Mars is now retrograde in Aries from now until like November something.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, I feel like we're in the halftime show. I feel like August is pretty like easy actually. And I say this as the person who got mugged in New York in August. And I still felt like compared to like, I'm like, I feel like August was still like, okay, like get in your comfy place. Like you got your new shop set up. I'm like in my, you know, this tour stop as I'm calling it for the next several months. It's like, get in your spot where you feel good. You feel safe and comfortable, you know, get some concessions because I feel like shit's about to get interesting again from fall through the solstice. But this is just a theory that I have. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
This is what I've been, you know, warning people about as well too, because some people are starting to freak out about Mercury retrograde around the time of the American elections. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what to say about that. Everything seems to be retrograde right now. And this is what happens when things go retrograde. And Mercury, I still think it's funny that in pop culture, people still think, oh my God, and then Mercury's going to go retrograde. I'm like, people, there's 3 weeks.
Mercury is the best publicist. Like, I would like Mercury's publicist because that's the one thing that people remember. They also get really worked up emotionally. I'm like, it's like the Kardashian, like Kris Jenner is running Mercury's PR. Like, it's kind of funny. Yeah.
It's a good way of putting it. It's true. I'm like, people, it's only 3 weeks. You can survive that. It just means that your technology is going to mess up and travel is going to suck and you're going to get foot and mouth disease. Now, let's talk about Saturn retrograde in Capricorn.
Right? Yeah.
Let's talk about Pluto retrograde in Capricorn. Let's talk about Mars retrograde in Aries. I'm like, there are worse things. And, you know, but nobody wants to talk about that. That's too heavy. And that's too much research to go into. So people usually avoid it. But I like to bring it up. And the Jupiter and Saturn will conjunct in Aquarius on the winter solstice. If that is not strong enough astrological currency right there for people to not only just look up to the sky, but also look around and see where things are going, you gotta look up old astrology. And, you know, none of this like self-analysis astrology that was born in the 70s and 80s for new agers. I'm talking about like going back to the old ephemerises of like the Chaldean ephemerises, the Roman ones, the Egyptian ones, the Babylonian ones, and, you know, go back to the British Isle ones, look at old stuff of what was happening at those in the times of history when Saturn and Jupiter conjunct. You know, it's interesting that it will be on the winter solstice. Now, what people have to remember is that astrology is like a giant clock. You know, time doesn't go abstract. Mm-hmm. 3 o'clock is either 3 o'clock a.m. or 3 o'clock p.m., but it's never a quarter to six, and then all of a sudden, 4 o'clock in the morning. You get what I'm saying? Like there's a structure, and the stars are a giant clock. They're always telling us what time it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 2,000 years ago, a whole new religion was born when Saturn and Jupiter conjunct at the winter solstice in the east. And this looked like an enormous, gigantic star. That ushered in a whole new era from that moment. It didn't happen overnight.
Thank you for that. That's amazing. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stories connected to this. You know, I wasn't there, so I can't tell you this was the exact one. But it's a reference to make.
Yeah, wow.
the, you know, there was a special comet in the sky, and then Jupiter and Saturn were conjunct, which you were able to still see it in the morning. And then when the sun was setting, you were able to see it in the sky. It looked like a giant star. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people, I'm like, this is when new kings are born. This is when new leaders are born. This is when a new era is ushered in. It's not overnight. It takes time. And it's not the only time in history it happened. It's just one of the most famous ones everyone's familiar with. There's Christmas songs written all about it. And
yeah. I'm excited to hear, yes, because I do think that it's like between now and December maybe a little rocky. But like it's, I think if you've done the work and you are willing to kind of ride those waves and surrender for your higher good, it's, we're all gonna, you know, those of us that are on that wavelength, we're gonna be okay. But I think that I am looking forward to that solstice for the same reason. And I was kind of like, I need to get to a solid ground between September and December, but I'm like, see how things end. There's gonna be a lot that unfolds, a lot that comes to the surface that does need to be exposed. But I'm excited for the winter solstice, very much so. Yeah.
You know, everything from Prometheus giving fire to humans, to Eve taking the bite of the apple, to the printing press. Everything sped up after all of those moments. So, you know, what are we going to do? We're in those throes right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like seeing, you know, the fall of Alexandria. You ever see that movie, Agora?
No, I haven't.
Oh, look. Hypatia has been a hero of mine since I was a little kid. I love her. And I used to talk about her. Nobody knew. If you were a mathematician, you knew who Hypatia was. But other than that, nobody knew. And I'm no mathematician, trust me. And she's my favorite philosopher. I have many ancient philosophers I love, but I love her story. She was born to Theron, who at that time was like the world's most brilliant mind on math and astronomy, and, you know, taught at the Alexandrian Library. And this was in the 300s. And Hypatia was his daughter, and he taught her everything, and she surpassed him. So she had the utmost respect. And she was either an Isaic, which means she devoted herself to Isis because she was chaste. There was a man she loved, but they never, he was her companion, but they never, you know, well, who knows really, but the story we have is they never, yeah. You know, she chose not to get married. She had her own wing at the Alexandrian Library. She taught, and the story goes that even to people she couldn't teach, she'd put on her philosopher's robe, a man's robe, and go into the streets and answer people's questions to people who couldn't afford to go to university. She felt everybody should be educated. And it was at the time that the Christians were taking over Alexandria, and she disputed it. She didn't say down with it, but she disputed it, saying, well, this story's been told before. We've heard this. You want to believe this? Believe it. But, you know, you can't force everyone to believe this. And so in the end, the Bishop Cyril comes into power, and he says, look, if we can convert her to Christianity, we will convert everybody. And she's kind of like, yeah, now I'm good. They're like, she's an intelligent woman. She teaches astronomy and math. We have to kill her, of course, you know. So they eviscerate her with clamshells in some church somewhere, and they burn the library down and they ransack the city, and it begins the Dark Ages. Now, that is a ridiculous, like, history in a thimble. There's a lot more that happens with this. Right. But a couple of years ago, Rachel Weisz played Hypatia in an adaptation of Hypatia's life. It's not the full telling, but the director took some creative liberties and changed around a few characters and whatnot and made a compelling movie. You should watch it because it's very similar to our times, where mob mentality is taking over. And what we should do is homework, and all of those out there watching and listening should do is homework, is look into 300 AD and see where the stars were then. See if they mirrored today, because the movie talks about a lot of political issues we still face. You know, everything from socioeconomic class, religion, men and women, and, you know, the world, their world, their classical world falling apart all around them, and how it begins the Dark Ages. So it's a fascinating time in history.
Well, that's, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. That's thank you. See, I always learn so much from talking to you, James. Well, I
appreciate that.
Oh my God, I adore you. I can't believe this flew by so quickly. So I'm sure I will have to have you back. I can't wait to visit your store. So your store is, this is going to air this Sunday. So you're opening.
Bravo. Yeah, it's a soft opening. Okay. It's Osset Gypsy or Osset Gypsy Metaphysical Emporium. You can find it on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. The website is ossetgypsy.com. And the soft opening is this weekend. And then I'm going to do a grand opening either later in the month on the autumn equinox or maybe towards Halloween. I'm not sure. There's still a lot of work in here that's got to get done. Like, the background you see right now is probably one of the coziest corners. Everything over there is still a mess. I'll give a tour online soon. Like, today I was mixing and bagging my Osset Gypsy blend teas, and like those still got to get on the shelf. I just labeled and finished candles because the moon was full last night, and I tried to do all the candles and mixing and all this stuff at the full moon so that they capture that potency of that vibration of that moment. So it's been a lot of work.
Yeah, well, from what I can see, it looks amazing. I'm so excited to come visit.
Well, the setup you have looks fantastic. I know we're wrapping up, and I'm sorry to keep
working. Oh, no. Thank you.
Your setup looks great. You know, I need to talk to you outside of our little chat.
Yeah, 1,000%. Thank you. Yeah, I ordered this, and then I have a neon sign coming that says Stay Magical, but it hasn't arrived yet because I had to have it, like, custom made from a guy I know in Toronto. But yeah,
I'm love it. No, we really do need to talk. And you know what? I can't wait to have you out here so that we can line you up with readings and you can do a presentation on your cards or whatever it is you want to do.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I just love your energy. I truly do learn so much from you, and you're such an inspiration. You've been such an inspiration in this time period because just the true grace that you, like, open up your new shop, and I'm sure there probably were challenges behind the scenes, but you've made it look really effortless just by your ability to really tapping into your intuitive abilities and working with the universe rather than trying to, like, control or force, or like you spoke about, even like being overly identified with whether that was your past location or the amount of time that you spent in it. I learned so much just from you navigating this process, so I'm so grateful for you, and I can't wait to do more together.
Thank you. Oh, absolutely. You know, as we go into the descent of this year, going into autumn and winter, you and I have a lot of planning to do so we can tackle 2021.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm going to link back to to your website, to all of your social media as well, and send everybody your way that's able to get out there to the new store.
Oh, I can't wait. I look forward to seeing everyone. And if you can't make it out to the store, you can still book appointments via teleconference, and I can take you on a video tour. And just keep in touch via social media. I love chatting with people and, you know, hearing different points of view. And thank you for letting me prattle on as I do.
Thank you so much. I just adore James and all of his astrological and mythological knowledge. So as I mentioned, I will link to all of his content and his new shop below for you guys to access as well. Before we head out, I'll just quickly recap the cards of the week. We are continuing to move through September with that Virgo ruled hermit card, reminding us to filter out any outside noises so we can really get clear and trust our inner guidance system on how to move forward. August is also bringing us the Mercury ruled magician reversed card. And because of the reversal, this can bring in some distractions or sometimes tempt us with procrastination. But ultimately, the magician reversed reminds us that we all have the tools we need to manifest what we're seeking. This week also brings us the card of the week of the Knight of Pentacles, helping us to not only get to work, but trust the process as we do things in our own authentic and unique way. I will still be doing my Instagram lives as always, Monday nights, 7:30 Eastern. So again, tune in for a chance to get a free live mini reading. If you can't be present at 7:30 Eastern, you can also write in to badassbitchestarot.com or DM me at CurdZB, and I will do my best to get to your question. The live stays up for 24 hours. I have some fun new online events coming up that I'll also be posting closer to the timelines on those. And as always, happy Virgo season and happy Labor Day for those of you who celebrate. I'm going to meet my sister's pool, so I'm so excited for that. Thank you as always for listening, and stay magical AF.